Welcome to episode 5 of the Redockables with Duck and Oz of the Purple Rain. We're looking back to the year 2000, round 21, the Demolition Derby, arguably one of probably in the top 5 most important games in Dockers history.
Yes.
Probably the number one derby, clearly. Pretty solid game, Oz. How have you been going anyway, mate, in this kind of post-coronavirus world that we're living in?
Going well. Shout out to everyone out there. Hope you're safe. Hope you're putting into place all of the government measures designed to help us get back to some normalcy, as it were. But, mate, I'm pumped up for this game. I'm fired up. I'm ready to talk about it.
Enjoyed the game?
Oh, yeah.
Well, mate, we're just going to, before Oz gets into the teams, we got a little bit of feedback on Big Footy, and thank you, The Wiz. Just a quick summary of the game. So I'm going to try and summarise the game in about 30 seconds, Oz. So have you got any music that you can put over the top of this for a 30-second countdown?
Let me try.
I don't even know how long 30 seconds is going to go for. I'm going to get my phone out for 30 seconds.
How about this?
Oh, yeah, that sounds good, mate. All right, well, I'm going to get the stopwatch out for 30 seconds. So, essentially, the Dockers beat the Eagles by 1 point in the Demolition Derby. Starts off, Gardner tries to punch Pav in the head a couple of times. Then there's a bit of a biff between Kickett where he starts swinging haymakers. The game goes to and fro. The Eagles get out to quite a big lead. In the third quarter, they're up by 42 points. But then the tide turns. Dale Kickett decides to punch Reed in the head a couple of times. It's not seen on TV. Troy Cook absolutely kills Mitchell White. Phil Reed gets killed by an umpire. And the Dockers, led by Clive Waterhouse, Brad Dodd, of all people, young Paul Hazelby, storm back in and manage to win the game by a point. Despite being up by 9 points with about 5 minutes to go, they nearly lose the game. Darren Glass misses a ball, goes through his legs, and I think it hits the post. That was 51 seconds, mate. Got to give myself a minute to win.
Yeah, probably about a minute, especially when it's as epic as this.
But epic game. A lot of forgotten hits that I put up on Twitter and Instagram this week, guys, when I watched the game on Saturday afternoon. Very, very interesting. But Oz, can you read through the team for us, especially the Mighty Dockers?
Yeah, look, the Mighty Dockers, in alphabetical order, we have Daniel Bandy, Heath Black, Brad Boots, Malie Brown, James Clement, Troy Cook, Brad Dodd, Brendan Fewster, the Big Red Bully, Adrian Fletcher, Paul Hazelby, Dale Kickett, swinging for the fences, Stephen Coops, Sean McManus, Clem Michael, Tony Modra, Jason Norwich, Matthew Pavlich, Ashley Prescott, Andrew Shipp, Jess Sinclair with a grossly dislocated finger, James Walker, and Clive to the Waterhouse.
Fantastic, and Clive ends up winning the retrospective Ross Glendening Ben Allen medal.
And so should have.
I believe in this game, mate. Yeah. But into the GBU, mate. Let's do it. It's the Fremantle Dockers, 15-11, 101. Defeated the West Coast Eagles, 15-10, 100. In front of 37,000 fans at Subiaco Oval. Mate, some good. For a start, Brad Bootsma in the first half was killing it. And they're like, Chad Morrison gives people a bit of rope. But Bootsman was killing it off the halfback flank. He had 16 disposals in the end, but I think most of them were in the first two quarters. I think he had about 12 disposals in the first quarter. It was unbelievable. Great move by Brad Bootsman, mate. And can I give you a little Brad Bootsman story, mate?
Go.
When I was in year 12, we had a footy trip up from North Albany, went up to the Waffle Grand Final. North Albany Colts did it every year. You sleep in the Claremont footy club change rooms on swags, go to the Waffle Grand Final, right? South Fremantle are playing. South Fremantle win. And Brad Bootsman was the captain of South Fremantle at the start of the year. And he quit, moved down to Albany, started playing for North Albany. So he was up there on the trip, organised all the tickets for us. And me as a stupid 17-year-old turned to Brad Bootsman when they gave the cup to the captain. Said, "Oh, hey, Boots," or the flag, sorry, I think it is. "Boots, that could have been you, eh, mate, if you didn't leave and come down to North Albany." And he politely told me to F off.
Oh, boy.
I was like, "Oh, probably shouldn't have said that. Probably shouldn't have told a guy, like, you could have won a waffle flag as captain, mate." Cheers. Cheers to Boots. Heath Black, mate, before his back injury. Mate, his left foot was lethal.
Oh, yeah.
I was so excited by Heath Black.
Oh, yeah.
He was fantastic. Jason Norrish, mate, tagged Kemp. Kemp looked like he wasn't even in the game. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, he's had 25 touches. I was like, I haven't seen Kemp once. And then in the last quarter, really turned up when the game was on the line. I thought Norrish was one of the people who led us over the line. Hazelby, mate, looked like a gun already, Hayes.
Oh,
bit
boy.
Bit slimmer. Very smart. You could see how smart he was. Even his skills, like what we wouldn't give now for a poor Hazelby type in the Fremantle Dockers. A smart footy player who knows where to get the ball and has pretty elite skills. Mate, Hayes, love him. Clem Michael, again, solid in the ruck, mate, against one of my favourite East Perth players, Ryan Turnbull. 12 clearances and 22 hitouts. 12 clearances, mate, as a ruckman. Pretty unbelievable. And showed his ability on the ground. So I don't think he played many more games after this, Oz. I think this was his second last game. Yep. Second last game for Clem Michael and just absolutely killed it. So it goes to show. Mate, Brad Dodd, like I said before, in the last quarter, he went from like... So Brad Dodd, all right, in the third quarter, he punches Phil Reed in the head, absolutely clocks him, gets 2 weeks for it, and then he just turns into a beast, mate. Did he need to go out swinging for a start to fire himself up? Because he doesn't play in the first two quarters.
Correct.
Mate, and he's like 20 at the time. So Dottie, mate, unbelievable. Mate, Clive, obviously.
Gah!
Clive getting the medal. 7 goals, 2, and 1 out of bounds on the full. He killed Metropolis and McIntosh. And we're going to talk about Metropolis in the bad in a second. Mate, third quarter, we're down by 42 points. We still managed to get up and win. And Pavs, mark and goal in the third quarter.
Mm.
Awesome. Oh. And I've got the transcript that Juddy sent to me of the commentary, because Juddy watched the game as well. So he sent me the transcript of Chris Mainwaring's commentary. Oh, is there any good that I've missed that you would like to talk about at all, mate?
Well, I like the fact the kicker got McManus in a headlock early on before he started swinging fences for Reed. So if you look at it, kicker comes over the top, gets McManus in a headlock. There's a fracas that exists. And then go from there.
So you're saying the fight may have started because Kickett got McManus in a headlock.
Yeah, look, inadvertently got him in a headlock. The fact that Phil Reed decided to, not decided to, but they obviously played him in a different position to what he was playing all year.
Yep.
So you can't tell me there wasn't any niggle. And look, rumour has it that it was, in fact, Clive Waterhouse who had said earlier on in the week of the derby that something along the lines of blood will be spilt or something. Ooh. To that effect. Mate, just to go on with what you were saying before, you know, Dale Kickett ends up getting suspended for 9 matches for striking Phil Reed. And then don't forget Embles as well. He copped one in the face too.
Mm.
Michael Gardner suspended for 2 matches for striking Pav. Brad Dodd got done for 2 matches, as you said, for striking Phil Reed. In fact, Phil Reed was a pinata for this particular game.
Yeah.
7 players, including Heath Black, Paul Hazelby, Sean McManus, Clem Michael, Jason Norris, Jess Sinclair, and Andrew Shipp, and 5 players from West Coast, Cousins, Embley, Munro, Gardner, and Reed, were all reported for melees. Embley, the only one found not guilty, and the rest were fined between $2,000 and $4,000. Don't tell me the AFL
How does Shawnee Mack get reported in that? Because he literally gets thrown out of the first melee.
Yeah, because Kickett got
him in a headlock. And then I don't think in the second... I really want to see...
Yeah.
Okay, is I need to see the vision of Dale Kickett on Phil Reed in the third quarter.
Oh, please.
There is no vision of it.
No.
And Phil Reed gives away a free kick somehow, yeah, and he comes up with two black eyes. It is mental.
Yeah.
Dale Kickett must have just absolutely flogged him. Mate, and Dale Kickett, I mean, one of the funniest all-time things is that everyone's like, Dale Kickett's last game. People think that's Dale Kickett. No, Dale Kickett comes back the next year, and he plays the year after. Okay, so that's a very Dockery thing.
Well, that's actually quite smart because he prolonged his career. Other good things for me, mate. the blonde tips for me. I love the little
blonde tips.
A lot of blonde tips going on there. Shades for me of back in the day.
I'm just thinking, does that team, we've got Modra.
Yep.
We've got Waterhouse.
Yep.
We've got Sinclair. We've got Walker.
Yes.
I'm just trying to think who else is in that
Bootsma,
team.
Oh, no, Bootsma technically shaved head.
Bootsma, kind of, yeah, but blondish.
Blondish, yep.
Is that the most blondies ever?
McManus.
McManus, another one?
Yep.
Another blondie? Look,
possibly, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, possibly.
Most surfy dudes.
Yeah, most surfy dudes in the one team. Look, Coops had moments where I thought, oh, Coopsy, pretty good. Pav was Pav, mate. And, you know, Waterhouse from 55 metres out. Thanks for coming.
Right. How about this one for some bad? My man, who is the youngest player in the team, but Anvil Brown, one of my all-time fave Dockers. Mate, big boy. Big boy. He's I think he's 19 or 18 years old and like 50 days.
Yes.
So he's super young.
Yes.
Mate, way out of his depth and just wasn't as good up forward as what he could have been. Djokovic takes him to the cleaners, goes down back and swaps with Pavlich and actually comes into a bit of his own. And, you know, I just wish the Anvil could have played his full career at the Dockers.
Yeah.
Tony Modra injured his hands and was pretty much useless from then on. And Mainwaring kept saying it, but, you know, he actually, once he goes off, the Dockers forward line gets a bit better. Kicker gets 9 weeks and ends up on 135 games, 15 short of a life membership. You know, like, if he plays those 9 games and he gets to, what's that, 144, you're saying they're not getting him over 6 more games life membership, mate?
Yeah.
And he's saying, I don't know what the life membership, I know it's 150 games, but you're telling me that Dale Kickett, mate, couldn't have got life membership?
Yeah.
Mate, just on that one demolition derby act alone.
Yep.
You know, just for putting a line in the stand alone. The other thing is that I find, what was I going to talk about with Dale Kickett, that I found out from the Swamp Thing on Twitter, guys follow him, he holds the record for the most games played for his fifth club. So no one else has played more games for their fifth club. He played 135 games for his fifth
club. How many players have played in 5 clubs?
Don't know. I'm trying to think. Even off the top of my head, not many.
Yeah.
Derek Kickett, he played in a heap of clubs, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, Essendon, Sydney.
West Coast.
Did he play Doggies? No.
Maybe Fitzroy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm.
Fletcher played at Brisbane, Dockers, Collingwood, Geelong. Is that right? I had the quiz last week. St Kilda. He played at, Brisbane, Geelong, St Kilda, and so not many players have played for 5 clubs.
Yeah,
is what we're saying.
Oh boy,
and not many players have played 135 games for 5 clubs. As a matter of fact, no one has apart from Dale Kickett. Mate, we're 9 points up. Like I said in the recap, we're 9 points up with about 5 minutes to go, and still couldn't finish it off. And really should have lost. Like actually should have lost. Darren Glass should have kicked 2 goals in the last 2 minutes and been the hero. He kicks the last goal, and then he like literally. Peter Matera snaps it, and all Darren Glass has to do is pick it up. He's in the goal square by himself, and it hits the post. Yeah. Now, I always remember, Oz, for some reason in my memory from that demolition derby, is that Glass actually fumbled the ball and kicked it into the post accidentally, but he obviously didn't. But he overruns the ball and misses it. Mate, my last one on the bad is, did we only have 1 set of jumpers? Like, those jumpers are so dirty and faded, and they look like they... Like,
the number at the back was all...
Yeah, and, like, the anchor wasn't very white. It was actually quite brown and a bit purpley pink. It's like someone had washed it a bit incorrect. So I know the new jumpers obviously isn't the thing, but, mate, let's get into the Docker end. I know you touched on the fight. Oh, any bad, sorry, that you'd like to talk about? Any bad points that really...
Oh, mate, that covers it. I'm keen to get on the Dockery.
The Dockery. Obviously, the fights. Gardner punches Pav in the head, which is pretty funny. After coming off a 6-week break for injury, just decides to start punching Pav in the head. Kickett obviously loses the plot, punches Emberlyn Reid. Dodd smacks Reid. He only gets 2 weeks for that. The footage of Kickett and Reid, which should have gone 10 rounds.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know this isn't necessarily Dockery, but Cook's bump on White is the biggest hit since the Beatles, mate. Oh. And they show the top-down vision. He runs... The ball goes to, like, his right by about a foot, right? He cleans up White. White is stretched off. Hip, knee, concussion.
Life.
Neck. He looks like he's dead.
Yeah.
Troy Cook looks like the biggest legend. Now, in this day and age, Oz... How many weeks do you think Cooks gets for that hit?
6.
6, yeah. For injury report, leaves the ground, goes past the ball,
hits him
in the head. Nah. I don't know. I don't even know if he gave away a free kick.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. No. Play on. Mate, and Phil Matera running into the umpire.
Oh, boy.
Bleeding. Umpire takes his shirt off, white as a ghost. Looks like his body's never seen the sun. Never, he's got a vitamin D deficiency, this bloke, this umpire. Mate, Phil Matera is dead. Now, Oz, my question is, Phil Mateer actually got suspended for touching an umpire. He was one of the very first. I remember it was a big thing. He pushed an umpire out of the way.
Right.
How many weeks do you think Phil Mateer gets for running into this umpire?
Well, he does see him at the last moment and just braces for impact. But the umpire comes off the better. So maybe he gets a fine in this one. I can't see him getting suspended. But
I reckon he's getting 2 to 3 weeks, mate. Boy. Now, my big thing is the umpire actually runs, if you look at him, the umpire runs on a curve and like literally runs into. So if the umpire kept running straight, he's missing everyone.
Yes.
But he ran in the curve, mate. And Coops, mate, celebrating a point. I really love that.
I love that. On his knees. On giving his knees. But was that just trying to sway the goal umpire? Or do you reckon
maybe
he
I do? You know, I do. I do you subscribe to trying to persuade the umpire by celebrating a goal, mate. This is okay. So Matthew Pavlich takes a mark on Djokovic and kicks a goal.
Yes.
All right. And this is the exact quote of Chris Mainwaring.
Yep.
Case of the young veteran, young apprentice, should I say, against the young veteran in that case. What? Adrian Barrett says someone gets a birth of fire rather than baptism of fire. He says birth of fire. I was like, does he mean baptism? Like,
how much does Barra hate the Dockers? You could tell in his voice.
Barra hates the Dockers, mate. But how about the end of the game, Oz? Boy. The end of the game, Hazelby's on the bench back.
Yep.
Heath Black and Hazelby both had sore backs.
Yeah.
Right?
Carrying the team.
Modra.
Bunghand.
Pavlich mild concussion.
Yep. Goes back out there.
Sinclair, dislocated finger.
Yep.
Right? And then on the Eagles bench, it's like Glass. Metropolis has a hamstring.
Yes. Already signed for the Dockers.
What's his name? Metropolis has done his hamstring.
Yep. Mitchell White, KIA.
Mitchell White's RIP.
Yep.
So, and like two other people. There was no one left on the bench, mate. No. It was 18 versus 18.
Yep.
Mate, let's get into. Sorry, I know we've got a question. This loops over a bit of the listeners' questions, but
yes.
Had Metropolis already signed for Freo? Mate, he is so bad. Now, I know the trade. Ended up working in our favour because we get Metropolis and we get the pick, which we pick up Dion Woods, who's one of our favourites here at the Purple Rain, and we give up Greg Harding. Greg Harding plays 9 games, Metropolis plays 6. Right? Metropolis is on big money, however.
Don't forget Fuster.
But, mate, Greg Harding, in the last game that we watched, the last derby we watched in 99, is solid.
Yes.
Daniel Metropolis looks slow.
Yeah.
He looks old.
Lost.
He looks lost. He looks like a very Docker player, and maybe that's what attracted
Ticking
him.
Ticking boxes.
But, mate, he looks absolute crap.
Yeah.
Clive Waterhouse runs him around so much he tears a hamstring.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you looking at this guy? You know, it's like when you're playing, like, can you imagine what's Clive Waterhouse thinking, mate? He's like, I just ran rings around that bloke. Oh, yeah, he's coming to our team now and he's probably on more money than you, bud. Like, are you kidding me?
Mm.
Like, what is going on? Like, what's going through their brains?
Yeah, look, not ideal, Duck.
And poor old Greg Harding, mate.
Yeah, look, not ideal. I mean, if you look down that list of guys that could have, this is a whole bunch of could have beens, but there are guys that also played their best game, I feel, like Andrew Shipp.
Oh, mate.
Is there another?
Andrew Shipp looked mad. I was like, what happened to Shipp?
So, you know, is there another game where, you know, you think ring-a-ding-ding? I mean, yeah. Brad Dodd. I mean, Brad Dodd did have a couple of good games, but that.
But, yeah.
Is that his apex mountain, as Bill Simmons would say?
I reckon definitely.
Ugh.
For Brad Dodd.
Geez, I tell you what. And then, like you said, Heath Black looks $1 million on that left foot. Just looks so good. Poor Hazelby. Oh, my gosh. Just looks like he's
mate,
got
it going
on.
The future's looking bright. And you can see that, essentially, this group of players and Hazelby, Pavlich, Brown, although Brown might have left already, you know, Heath Black coming back and forth, you know, they're the guys that they grow the group around. This is the first year as well, Oz, that we actually go to the draft and one pick good players, but two actually pick some players. I mean, we had a couple of misses still, but...
We nearly killed one of our draftees at the beginning of the season.
Who's that, mate?
Pav.
Pav nearly died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, read it, mate. Read his book.
Yeah?
So he decided to go hardcore pre-season.
Oh, that's right, at Aquinas.
Yeah, at Aquinas.
And he nearly
died.
Classic.
Oh, boy.
Classic Pav. Hey, Oz, do you have a combined team that you've done?
I don't because I totally forgot to do that. But
I've got my quickly combined team, mate.
Go.
All right, this is my team. Clement, Hamling, Ryan.
Yes.
Black, Pierce, Kickett.
Yes.
For a bit of argy-bargy. McManus got one Brownlow vote as well.
Yep.
Brayshaw Hill, Hazelby, Lobb, Walters, Pav, Clive, Mundy, Michael Cook, Fifey, Norrish, Bandy, Sturt, and Wilson.
Oh, boy. That's no Fletcher.
No, I probably could have got Fletcher. He takes a great hang in that match.
He does.
And same with McManus, takes a really great, courageous going back with the flight mark.
Yep.
McManus, my love affair with him continues to grow because every time he made a mistake, by himself in the clear, kicks it out of bounds on the full, you know, misses targets.
Are you leaning down the direction, if you will, of the whole Cat 10 mistake? Is he a Lee Spur type when he makes a mistake?
Ethan Hughes type Cat 10. No, he's not a Cat 10 because he gets it on the wing. Yeah. And he just kicks it out of bounds on the full, mate. Like, he's not kicking.
But in clutch situations, remember the last time we did that? Was a clutch situation. We talked about that.
Oh, in that. In the Western Bulldogs match. Well, literally, if he fell on the ball, anything he could have done was better than what he did.
Yeah. I thought he played pretty well. I'm actually, like, the more that I watch McManus play, and we haven't watched games where McManus is absolute dog shit, but the more I watch him play, I'm like, yeah, he was actually good. For me, like, I thought he was good. But I just keep going back to that. If he didn't do his knee, what could have been twice, mate. And he's managed to come back, shows heart.
Yeah.
And still very serviceable. Look, mate, very quickly, if I'm looking at this team and I'm going, who's going to be in that combined team for me? As you said, definitely Waterhouse, definitely Pav. I'd throw in Clem Michael and Mods just because I love them. Definitely Dale Kickett, Paul Hazelby, Fletcher would get in for me. And then... I don't know. The rest, Heath Black, sorry. But the rest, no.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No Anvil Brown, mate, early on.
No, too early. I wouldn't have too early Brown there. Either, mate. Anyway. Too early.
All right, mate, let's go to a break. When we come back, as you can tell, guys, no quiz. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the 2000 season and Oz. I've got three teams I want to pick your brain with, mate.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Welcome back to episode 5 of the Redockables. We've just gone over the 2000 Demolition Derby.
Oh.
One of the great matches. If you haven't watched it, just go back and watch it, guys, because it's a game in which we're down by 42 points. I mean, this is what's lost in the game. I mean, there's so many ebbs and flows that we're down by 42 points. Phil Matera's on fire. You know, the Dockers are lost and, you know, Damien Drum's careers on the line a little bit, and Clive Waterhouse just arises from the ashes, mate. Modra gets injured and we're in all sorts. We got no one left on the bench. Troy Cook absolutely kills him. Like, literally should be arrested for homicide on Mitchell White. Literally kills him. You know, Phil Matera ends up hitting an umpire and nearly dying. But out of it, the Dockers get up by 9 points and then somehow they only win by 1 point. Darren Glass starts his career as a reliable defender by missing an absolute sitter.
Don't know how he misses that duck. And again, so Dockery, but this game, I just remember this game being that line in the sand moment. And when we were getting flogged early on, I don't know why, but I still remember thinking, we can win this game if we just get our stuff together.
Yeah.
And when it started clicking, and one of the traits of the Dockers were, you know, that they were finishing strong.
Mm.
So I don't know if that's always been the case. It seemed to be a trait. Like, even since the first game, you listen to the commentary, it will come up. Oh, the Dockers will finish strong.
Yeah. And they're like,
How come they can't start strong?
The Eagles will wear out. That was the other thing. They're like, the Eagles will run out of legs, mate.
And that's considering in the first game, we got flogged by like 117 points or something. I'm sure in the first game of that season.
Of 2000, yeah.
Yeah, we got flogged by the Eagles.
We got flogged.
Flogged, yeah.
All right.
Great comeback.
2000 season, Oz, we ended up 8-14. We finished 12th. So we're kind of petering under Drum. But I would say the big thing about the 2000 season is more the 99 draft in which we pick up Hazelby, Pav and Brown as our first three picks, mate. You know, we get Cook for pick 34. We trade Fuster for pick 16, which is insane. And we trade Tilo, who doesn't play in this game must have been injured for pick 19, who ends up being Brad Grant. But that's all right. We've talked about that in the purple patch in a dual citizens. But, mate, top 10 of the doy. Cookie. So he gets recruited, finishes first.
Yep.
Outset. And, like, Troy Cook, is he not a quintessential, like, Dockery's Docker?
Yes.
Mate, he is hard as, mate, he's tough as a cat's head.
Yep.
You know, he's bloody, he's hard as, he goes in hard, and, you know, his skills were average.
Yes.
See, now, I like Cook. I don't like McManus. I feel like they're very similar players, except for McManus was more outside, Cook's more inside. So, you know, it's a bit harder then.
Now,
you know, to, I don't know.
Look, like I've said before, Duck, and I may be barking up the wrong tree here, but I still put down the fact that a lack of availability of a Troy Cook in our first final against Essendon,
yes,
cost us a game.
Yes.
Because we just lacked his hardness and attack at the ball. His tackling, because he was leading tackles at that point.
Great tackler.
Great tackler.
The original tackler.
Yes, the original. Yes, absolutely. Anyway, keep going.
Hazelby comes second in his first year. Waterhouse third. I think this is his best finish in the Doig. Bandy fourth, who kind of reinvented himself as a bit of a backman. Fletcher fifth. McManus sixth. I think this is McManus' best finish as well. Parker seventh. Tilo eighth.
Oh, boy.
So two of the guys we recruit finish in the top 10, and then one, and two of the guys, because Pav finishes ninth, two of the guys we draft finish in the top 10, and Modra 10th. Hazelby wins the Beacon Award, probably the best Beacon winner.
Yep.
Leading goal kicker, Clive actually goes past Modra in the second last game. He kicks 53 goals, Modra kicks 50. Bandy and Coops are our next best with 16. It's a bit of a drop-off, but, mate, what we wouldn't give for it, two blokes to kick 50 goals.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, mate, we're winning a premiership.
The Rising Stars were Hazelby in round one versus Geelong, and he ends up winning it. Brown in round four versus Richmond, and Pavlich in round 17 versus Port Adelaide. Hazelby in his first game gets 30 touches and kicks like one goal,
ridiculous.
One or two goals, mate.
I remember that. Ridiculous.
Mate, the best clubman. Can you have a guess who won best clubman?
Clem Michael.
No, it was John Rankin. How many games do you reckon he played for the Dockers?
Two.
None, mate. He wasn't even a player.
Okay, then.
He was a coach. Right, the only thing I could find on him on the web, and I did a pretty limited, I didn't do a deep dive, I did a very shallow dive,
right,
was he is an SAS guy, and he was a fitness coach, I assume, at the Dockers.
Well,
and he won best clubman. So
obviously quite fit.
Mate, very fit. What were you doing in 2000, mate? Millennium. First year of teaching. Okay, Oz, what did you do for your millennium, your Y2K party, your New Year's Eve party?
Shout out Murph Agonis at Murph's house. His mum, I remember this to this day, shout out Leslie, how are you going? Filled a bathtub full of water in case that there was going to be an end of days type scenario. So there was a bathtub full of water. And we had a Y2K party.
Yeah.
It was great. And then we proceeded to do a run in modest fashion at the drop of the millennium.
Oh, fantastic, mate. Can I tell you this story, mate?
Go.
My mum and dad organised the party in Tambalup, okay?
Hello.
So big party in Tambalup on the Oval.
Yes.
Pavilion Oval, right?
Yes.
And mum got as door prizes, she got tickets in the Perth Cup. TAB tickets, all right, bets for the Perth Cub for just door prizes. So the people at TAB said, look, you've spent about $100. We'll give you all these mystery trifectas. So mum's giving them out to every 10th person who walks in the door. Everyone's there counting. All the kids are counting. 1, 2, 3, 10. So she ends up giving one to my nana, her mum. She's like, oh. And my nana, bless her soul, was literally the luckiest person of all time. All right. At the casino one day, the machine broke and money started pouring out of it. And she wanted to give the money back. And my mum and my auntie are there with their shirts getting all these dollar coins.
And managed to break as she walked past with a crowbar or?
Well, so anyway, she's got this mystery trifecta for the Perth Cup. $1 mystery trifecta.
Yep.
A horse at like 50 to 1 wins it. All right. She wins like 10 grand. On a mystery trifecta, $1 mystery trifecta. What do we get from it? Well, my great auntie has a birthday, her 80th birthday party, so Nana buys a nice dress for that. They don't really have much need for money. We've got our whole family over there, about 60 of us in the Hams family, at my cousin's place, the Backmans. She buys like 20 pizzas and like 100 pieces of KFC. So we're just eating KFC. Like, this is a boy from Tambla, year seven, mate. I'm year seven.
Oh, boy.
Tambla. Big boy. Yep. Getting bigger. Just
holing in it.
And like, my uncle's like, how many bits have you had? I was like, I've had 10. Just skin, chomping, chucking it, mate.
Oh, boy.
It was elite. So that's what I did in the for the Y2K, mate.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
No one in Tambla was really worried about Y2K, to be honest. It wasn't a big thing.
It was my 21st.
21st?
Yeah. Well, I was 21 at the time,
21. Yeah. Mate, just a couple of things, Oz, now, because we've got a little bit of extra time, mate.
Yeah, go.
I want you to tell me, which is the best 22 out of these three? I made three 22s.
Yes.
One of them is the traded in 22.
Oh.
The other one is the traded out 22.
Yes.
And the third one is the Dockers only 22. All right, this is the traded in 22.
Can you just... I'm just high on this arousal curve here. Just give me a moment.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay. Traded in 22. Dawson, Hamling, Tarrant, McPhee, McFarlane, Kickett. Now, I know Kickett wasn't necessary, but I'm going to count him.
Yeah.
Brad Hill, Josh Carr, Heath Black, Solomon, Crowd, Matthew Carr, Farmer, Modra, Headland, Ruck of Lobb, Fletcher, and Bell. Interchange Simmons, Cook, Kepler, and Norris. That's the traded in 11. Or 22, sorry. The traded out 22. Tarrant makes an appearance on both teams. Clement and Robertson. Dylan Robertson.
Yeah, I remember him, yeah.
Black, O'Reilly, and Brown. Hill, Neil, and Peake. Brad Hill, that is. Josh Carr. Natty McPhee's now at centre half forward. Main. Medhurst, Crowd, and Bandy. White in the ruck, Barlow the rover, and Bell is the other rover. So Bell's in both teams. You'll notice Bell's in both teams, McPhee's in both teams, yes. Black's in both teams.
Yes.
Brad Hill's in both teams. Now, interchange, De Boer, Winston Abraham, Holland, and Crowley. Creepy Crowley ended up playing a game for Essendon. Now, mate, the Dockers only. Ryan, Parker, Hayden, Duffield, MJ, and Grover. Stephen Hill, Fife, McManus, begrudgingly. Hazelby, Pav, J-Lo, Ballers, Waterhouse, and Subin in forward pocket. Sandy, Walters, and Mundy. Walker, Ibbotson, Spur, and Pierce, Alex Pierce, that is.
Oh, God.
That's like those three teams.
That
I was
is
like,
an
who would win? Because
I
was thinking that, about the teams, last week we had the question about the players that we've traded out.
Yes. Mate,
that's a good traded out. I mean, O'Reilly's probably the only weak link there. And you could say...
I'm thinking, for me, it's out of two. It's out of the traded in, because you know I love me some Tony Modra. Mm. And the second one is the current, well, the Dockers only.
Yeah, because you got Pav and
Pav
five.
And that.
Mate, the traded out team's still good. You got Bell,
Neil. Yeah.
You got, like, the back line is solid. The forward line's missing. Like, you still get Medhurst and Bandy.
Yeah. I still
Maney. Chris Maine.
No, well, that's why I'm not choosing them.
You don't want them, they're dogs.
Mate, did you see the...
they're trading dogs.
I love the Freo. By the way, shout out Brett down at Freo. He is doing some glorious things with the Dockers stuff while, you know, they're all in hiatus. But... the one that they put on was the prelim against Hawthorn. Was it the prelim Hawthorn game when, you know, we sat next to each other?
Oh, yep.
Yeah. It was a prelim, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a prelim.
And it was like, oh, what did you guys think? I tell you, I wanted to make one comment. 20 metres out, directly in front. Who am I talking about, Duck?
Mate, matey.
When we had all the momentum and someone let it go. You reckon I'm going to choose a Fremantle team that's got that guy in it?
Yeah.
Am I dirty on it?
You are, mate.
Yeah, look,
it was interesting.
You did all right for the club.
So,
don't
mate,
get me wrong, but gee whiz.
Just before I came here, I was listening to the Duff and Quarters podcast. And if you haven't listened to it, guys, it is really great because Duff is a great Dockers man. But someone asked the question, what was the biggest wasted opportunity to win a flag for the Dockers team from 2013 to 2015? So which team from those 3 years? Mm. Duff actually said the 2012 team could nearly be included because we're coming home like a bloody, you know.
But the problem was that we were like both McFarlane and Pav were struggling against Adelaide. Well,
2015,
Adelaide.
Apparently 2015? Yeah. Fife broke his leg in that game. Pav tore his calf muscle.
Yep.
McFarlane was already out and wasn't coming back. So if we won that game, we play West Coast.
Correct.
In the 2015 grand final.
Can you imagine losing to West Coast in a grand final?
Mate, we wouldn't. I mean, we would have as well because we wouldn't have had any points.
Correct,
mate.
But can you imagine how bad that would be?
Oh, mate, it'd be unbelievable. And like, especially because they got flogged by
Hawthorn. Flogged.
Flogged.
Flogged. So anyway, I'm going to go with the Freo team, mate.
Okay.
All Freo team.
Freo team?
Yeah, yeah.
I have to go with the traded in 22.
It's so close.
Because Wiz is in there.
But I love me some... MJ...
Yeah.
I'm watching the doco, so I'm loving MJ. MJ, you got bloody, what's his name in there? Stephen Hill.
Stephen Hill.
Fifey. Bloody
Sonny.
Hell. Sonny.
Sandy. Mate, have you got your music quiz?
I have. Here we go, mate.
All right.
Triple J Hottest 100 in the year of 2000 goes a little something like this, duck. Number 10. Number 9.
We argued on the Channel train to Paris. The Van Rouge helped us make it sweet again. But by the time that...
Number 8. Number 7, wear out that tape deck.
Oh, no.
All-time riff. Good to see this guitarist back. Number 6. You got to listen carefully for this one.
Mr. Kirk, Dexter's in school.
I'm afraid he's not, Miss Fishmore. Dexter's true.
Because it's only the intros I'm playing. Number 5. Number 4. I've got a good story about this one. Oh, boy. Number 3.
Tell me where I'm supposed to begin.
Number 2. I'm quite happy just to do it between us, mate, because classic. Classic is classic here.
The heart is a blue.
And number 1. All right, mate. All right, here we go. From number 10 to 1.
Can I have a guess?
Yeah, that's the idea, buddy.
I think I've got most of them right except for number 3.
Go number 10.
Bohemian Like Me, Danny Warhols.
Yes. Like You, yes, correct.
Like You.
Yep.
Okay.
Number 9?
Is Every Effin' City.
Yep.
Paul Kelly.
Correct.
Number 8 is Generator by Foo Fighters.
Oh, baby.
That's a good one.
That was one of the fan favorites. That one.
Number 7, I wrote down Scar Tissue, but it's actually Californication.
That's correct.
Chili Peppers.
Correct.
Number 6, Avalanches, Frontier Psychiatry.
Yes.
It's a great song. Shout out to Todd. She doesn't like that song. My missus. Number 5, it's Coldplay, but I thought it was Yellow.
Yeah, correct.
Oh, nice. Number 4, Weedus, Teenage Dirtbag. Correct. What's your Teenage Dirtbag song, mate?
Look, very quickly, I'll cut out a few things, but this happened to be one of the first things that I may or may not have downloaded using the old Napster.
Did you ever do LimeWire?
Yes, but LimeWire tended to have a few, a friend of mine used LimeWire, Duck.
Yeah.
And the friend of mine may or may not have acquired a few viruses.
Not as bad as coronavirus, mate.
Oh, boy.
Number 3, I didn't know. Is that like Pearl Jam or something?
No, Powderfinger, My Kind of Scene.
Oh. Okay. Number two, Beautiful Day by U2.
Correct.
And number one, Powderfinger, My Happiness.
Correct. So they had two songs in the top three. Oh, by the way, that Powderfinger concert at the Entertainment Center was absolutely superb. I remember that. Fantastic. And look, mate, I'm loving this. And some of these classics are coming up. I tell you what,
mate. That's right in my wheelhouse. Oh. All right, guys. That is that for this week. Next week, the match will be the J-Lo game. We're going to skip ahead a couple of years. So we're going to have a 2 weeks in a row of St. Kilda games. We're going to play the J-Lo game, and then the week after, we've got Siren Gate. So we've got back-to-back St. Kilda games, 2005-2006. We can talk about the, you know, the what-ifs of the Siren Gate. And, yeah, look, it's a mental game. And we're gonna get right into it. So 2005, J-Lo game, Friday night. You got to remember where you were, Oz, because I remember I was at home in Tambalup. And, yeah, it was a great game.
This will be interesting. Look, shout-out, Radar Hager, mate. Thanks for looking after Junior. Appreciate it. Shout-out to all the teachers out there who are working both online, remotely, living the dream, and all of you out there who are ready to go back to work. We appreciate what you're doing. Get on that choo-choo train, duck.